We're still on agenda item number 2, and we still have yet to address on agenda item 2 the recommendations by the Trial Court Budget Working Group on page 2 of your memorandum, items 2, 3, and 4, and then we also will have item 3 on the agenda. So I ask the panel to proceed, please.
Can I just clarify my addition on my motion? I said 67.8, and, of course, my math was wrong, and it was $63 million, if I'm correct. Right, Ken?
That's right.
Yes.
So. That's right. As stated in the recommendation, correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's right.
Okay. So we're on numbers 2, 3, and 4 on agenda item 2.
Oh, thanks so much.
Chief, if I may.
Please,
the,
go. Please do.
Okay, this is it.
We'll just get right to the document. The if you turn to attachment 1, page 11 of the report. This is really the big picture. This has all the pluses and minuses. On 2011, 2012, there's going to be, and it's important for the record, there's going to be adjustments to a lot of these numbers. We did HCRC, we did adjustment for the court interpreter program, and there's going to be a lot of little tweaks, and so pluses and minuses that staff will work out in the final version of the approved report. Going down in 2011-2012 column, as initially recommended, and again, there's some minor adjustments to that, trial courts were facing about a combined $605.2 million. We talked about $180 million of offset that the legislature already scheduled. In Section 2C, we discussed, and that's what the discussion today was, before we got into the item, the CCMS, the facilities, and it's been clarified to me the action was not a one-year pause. It was just that amount of savings had to be identified from CCMS. That's my understanding that the motion was. Mm-hmm. Court interpreter, again, that number will be slightly different, the 3 million instead of the 4.839. But that's the offset that we've talked about. The next one is just the legislature had provided over the last several years in Sections 3 and Section 4 new fee revenues. You can see what the estimates that will be available to offset these reductions. $6.5 million from the $5 first paper filing fee that was included as part of the 2009 Budget Act trailer legislation. And then under Section 4, $64 million are estimated from 10-11 fee increases. So that leaves us with a total reduction that's facing, a total ongoing cut that's facing at this time, facing the courts that net, after all those offsets, about 230.4. Then we start to subdivide that cut, and this gets to Judge Friedman, where he was asking some of the detail like equal access fund, but there's a total reduction of 5.190, which is for local assistance and grant programs. Security, and I'd mentioned this earlier, alluded to this earlier, there was $17 million of reduction last year that was their share of last year's cut that was included in their base. And so that gives you a reduction to court allocations of $208 million. Last year, the council had approved a one-time allocation of $7 million for the court-appointed counsel dependency program, and this adds to, and it's included in this allocation. This year, that amount was going to be half as much, $3.5 million, which allowed the program to identify efficiencies. And so you end up with a cumulative allocation reduction when you get all the pluses and minuses of about $211.7 million. Last year, the courts were left with an ongoing cut of 75.8. That's a cut that was already allocated by the council on an ongoing basis. And so courts have already incorporated that. That's part of their current budgets. So the net of all of that is, and again, as I said, there will be pluses, some minor pluses and minuses for these things that the council today has modified, but we are looking at $135.8 million of reduction. Then related to that, we had some options. So that's all those offsets. Then we had some options. Do you want to go ahead and pull the slides up? So then the question is, and this is something that the budget working group discussed and prior budget working groups and prior council meetings have talked about, once you've identified what the cut amount is, then the question is, how do you allocate it among the courts? And clearly, as been discussed from the beginning of the opening of today's meeting, there are differences in the financial position of different courts and clearly differences in historical funding and so forth. So these are options that traditionally have been looked at. The first one is pro rata, and that's, I would say, the standard, not exclusive action, but standard approach that's taken to reductions and even new money by the court, and that's simply saying what is each court's share of the total statewide trial court funding allocation, and then you prorate whatever the number is. So again, I said that number 135.9 will be adjusted somewhat based on actions, but this option would prorate that cut to courts, again, simply based on their share of the overall trial court funding allocation. The next option is looking at RAS, the resource allocation study. This is using formulas that have been used for many years. They're in process of being updated, and that's part of the concern staff have is that by next year we'll be presenting formulas and data and so forth that represents an update. And courts are working in the SB 56 group to go through the data, look at the methodologies with our Office of Court Research team here in AOC. And so there's going to be an updated and appropriately updated model. So we think that some of the RAS calculations and formula really do need to be revised. But nevertheless, using the same model that has been around for several years, we looked at and applied it. Now, it's interesting when you look at the RAS model, and there was some discussion in a presentation with the budget working group, but when you look at the RAS model, the last couple of years, the number of courts that are showing up as being very under-resourced and significantly under-resourced is growing. Well, when you think about it, it makes sense because we've been getting reductions and we haven't been getting much new funding. So you're seeing a lot of it's just a result of that, a lot of percentages going up in terms of under-resourced courts and the magnitude of that level of under-resource. So what we did was we looked at five courts that were identified as being the most severely under-resourced this year and 30% or more. And what was the total dollar amount on that? And so that would, and so the idea was, what would it take? So they were over 30% under-resourced. What would it take to get to those five most under-resourced courts to just the 30% under-resourced level? And that's about $3.1 million. And so that's an option. So that this approach would say, before you allocate the reduction, provide $3.1 million of credit or offset to those five most severely under-resourced courts, and then spread the overall reduction to all of the rest of the courts. So that's the pro rata, taking into account under-resourced RAS adjustment. And then finally, we have, and this is a very different analysis, typically when we present this, we would have a list of courts and show you what their reserves are. Because of the timeliness of the budget this year and the fact that trial court accounting record books are not closed for last year yet, and it'll be another week to 2 weeks before we would have final numbers, we can't give you what the final reserves court by court are. There were interim numbers that folks have looked at. I always advise against looking at those cautions strongly because it's the last 2 weeks when all of the, a lot of the accruals and other things that are done in the financial statements that are really key and do impact what courts are showing as reserves. But this option would provide for those courts that just have minimal or negligible reserves. So for whatever reason, they end June 30th of this calendar year. They ended June 30th with, again, close to zero or just some very minimal numbers. This approach would be to provide some level of one-time offset. So it's a notion similar to, if you recall at the beginning, we talked about courts of appeals, Supreme Court, AOC. We can't carry reserves over. The argument was there was a need for some one-time consideration and credit. This would say, well, that's courts can carry reserves over, but these courts have no money carried over, and so give them a credit. We don't have final reserve numbers for you, fund balance numbers. But if that's what the council wants to do, staff could go back and calculate whatever adjustment that would be once those numbers are final. So these were discussed with the budget working group, these options, and the budget working group recommended the pro rata, just the straight pro rata, no RAS adjustment, no adjustment for courts that have found themselves with no reserves. So that's the recommendation for the number... second recommendation, which is allocate, and again that number will be adjusted slightly, but allocate the $135 million in reductions to courts as displayed in column E of attachment 3, and that's the pro rata option without any other adjustment.
Any questions or discussions for Stephen or the panel?
That's my motion.
So Judge Shoh has moved to recommendation number 2 on page 2.
Second.
Second by Judge Wesley. Any discussion, question?
I think now's my time. And I thank Stephen for explaining this to me. This has to do with the Equal Access Fund, which is critical to the, if we truly believe in equal access, it doesn't do the poor and disabled much good to have open courtrooms if they don't have a lawyer to represent them when their basic rights and interests are at stake. The Equal Access Fund has been around for a number of years as a way to try to help these programs that provide free representation to the poor of California to offset the enormous cuts that they've experienced over a number of years. The legislature, as Stephen explained it to me, took a pro rata 6.8% cut from the Equal Access Fund. It's about $700,000, not addressing that. But there's another $374,000 that is in cuts that are allocated to the Equal Access Fund from the Trial Court Trust Fund. And it's my belief that we should offset that reduction by reallocating the amount, spreading it across all the courts in the state. It's certainly not something that I raise lightly. I think this is a matter of utmost importance to all of us. The people that are served by the Equal Access Fund are the people that are never at this table or any table, and it's only because some of them have the ability to obtain legal representation from a legal services program, that they're able to protect their housing, their benefits. And these are points that were made in some excellent letters submitted in the public comments by the Equal Access Commission, by the Legal Aid Association of California. So even though I don't have a vote, Mary informs me that I do have the right to make a motion. And so I will move that we, and maybe I'll even ask as a friendly amendment, if not just as a modification to the motion to adopt recommendation number two, that we offset the $374,000 additional cut to the Equal Access Fund out of the trial court trust fund.
If I don't have to recuse myself as a member of the Commission on Access to Justice, I'd second that motion.
Judge Waters.
Just a point of clarification. I think what we had been doing prior to our break was going through the list of adjustments on page 5. So I don't know that we ever formally adopted recommendation number 1 to the full amount of 124.2. And in light of what Judge Freeman is saying, I think what I'm hearing is he would like to see that number go down by 347 and allocation item number 2 go up by the same amount.
I defer to our expert on budgets for that. I don't know the answer to where. That's why I kept asking my question now.
So as I track it, it was approved in pieces.
Right.
So it's not done as recommendation one. You had pieces, but you had you approved a savings of $56.4 million from CCMS.
Right.
You recommended or approved reallocation of $3 million from the Court Interpreter Program, and then you had $63 million. Mm-hmm. So I think it was approved,
well,
just approved in pieces.
I'm sorry, I look at the last four bullets on page 5, and I don't recall any discussion of those items. The 70.6 in revenues, the 5.2 in ongoing reductions.
And it's the 5.2 that this comes out of, you're right.
Right. I don't think we ever discussed those last four bullets.
Yeah, so this is reflective, as we indicated, Judge Waters. So the $3.5 million was approved by the prior council action, and that's in a previous meeting when they did the $7 million and the $3.5. The $17 million, it's not something that the council really has authority to change right now in security. That was already approved going back two fiscal years by the council. The 5.2 is part of the adjustments that are reflected on this chart,
right.
And it does relate to, that's where the Equal Access Fund is included. So in this item, actually this recommendation, when we talk about the allocation, that net number would include all of the other adjustments, and that's why I say you'd have to adjust it slightly. But all of those would be incorporated to get to the 135.9.
I understand.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's a net reduction. What we're showing is a net reduction after all of these adjustments.
124.
No, it's not 124. It's what we're saying is there's, again, it'll have to be adjusted, but it's approximately 135.9 million. After all, we talked about $600 million of cuts. All of those adjustments that are recommended in, are incorporated to get us to a net cut to the courts of approximately $135 million. Again, it's going to be adjusted slightly. All of those are included in that, though. And then we got to the... So I believe that this action does take care of all of those adjustments.
That's fine. So Judge Freeman is requesting a modification of the motion to allocate $135 million in reductions. You want that number changed by 374,000. I don't know who made the motion.
374.
Well, and there was a...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, there's several motions here.
Okay.
Right.
So. And Steve, I just had a question. Is this a single fund? Is this the Equal Access Fund? Or are there actually two funds? Because didn't the legislature appropriate the money for the equal access fund, and would we have authority to reduce that?
Well, this is interesting, Justice. the equal access fund is not a separate fund. It is a program, but it gets funded out of two sources. There's general fund appropriation that Judge Friedman identified, and there's also trial court trust fund revenues that come, and it's included as part of that. And there's also part of the overall appropriation that funds the equal access. But it's called the Equal Access Fund and is named that way in statute, but it's not a separate fund. It's funded out of these different fund sources, so it's more of a program.
Is there a portion of that that's funded by the legislature that's an amount we couldn't reduce?
So they identify the total cut for the Equal Access Fund was already reduced, and specifically by the legislature. Judge Friedman had already met with me, and the general fund piece, you would not be able to adjust. The legislature made that adjustment. But Judge Friedman was focused on the piece that comes out of the trial court trust fund, and that could be adjusted.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay.
So it's been mentioned, but I'll put the question to the motion on the first motion, whether or not there would be a friendly amendment to backfill the legal access fund with trust fund money to the tune of $374,000.
Well, normally I would. I know that it's a worthy program. Opening it up like this opens it up to all these other worthy programs that we're not considering again. So I would decline.
Okay. So because the first motion was made, I'm going to take the second motion first, actually. Did I hear substitute motion?
Well, no, it's not. Substitute.
Explanation of what? I don't know.
David left. I think what we'll do is, my feeling is perhaps, and I asked Stephen this, if there's another way to accomplish potentially what there might be some vote for in terms of what Judge Friedman has indicated, without, as an augmentation or another aspect, because I think what I'm going to I put that question to you, Stephen.
Is there another way of doing it, Chief? So you could do it as a separate. You could include it as an offset, as was being proposed to this, so an adjustment to the overall reduction that we were talking about. You could do it as a separate action and do the 135, and then say, and we're going to restore 374,000 to the Equal Access Fund. One of the things we're working on hard, and staff, lots of staff here are making sure we're taking notes because there's a lot of adjustments that are occurring in today's meeting. But you could do it either way, and I think it would be fine. Probably the cleanest is a separate transaction. Mm-hmm. And so if you did the 135.9 and then did a vote on the on the restoration of the reduction already taken by the legislature on the Equal Access Fund, you could do that.
Okay. Then I'm not hearing any further discussion. I am going to put the question as to recommendation number 2 on page 2 of your memorandum, to allocate $135.9 million in reductions to courts as displayed in column E of attachment 3.
I just want to add one final comment. I do intend to vote to support this recommendation, but following Justice Baxter's lead, perhaps with a request that the trial court budget group be directed to look at different funding models, because what's still not being addressed and has never been addressed as long as I've been around here is the disparity in basic funding for all the courts coming in. And it's been raised a couple of times today. Sacramento, we heard that comment. We heard it from San Joaquin. I know our court has felt at times in the past that perhaps we weren't being treated fairly in funding, and I'm sure every court feels that to some degree. But I think some of the problem is we continue to work off the basic funding models that we all came in with into the system. Attempts in the past to use new monies to equalize funding have been met with opposition both by trial courts, but ultimately in the legislature. and it's time we start addressing that basic funding inequity.
Thank you. And it's my understanding that the Administrative Office of the Courts is looking at new models,
right.
But that's not anything that we can
deal with today. I agree.
And it will be coming back. So in the meantime, yes, Commissioner Alexander.
I had a question. What was the reasoning that the working group had to not give extra money to the underfunded courts?
So we just had a discussion about, and again, staff had talked about, they'd provided information on, and lots of detail from the RAS model, and we talked about the need for, again, an update, that a lot of this is fairly old data and fairly, these are formulas and so forth, and based on Delphi model and other things that go back many years and early time studies, that it's not a real, it does need to be updated. There's just not a real sense of confidence that, the numbers that you're looking at now are what you're going to see as a body when the SB 56 work group is completes its work and comes back with some recommendations. So I think there was some concern about that as a tool for identifying those most under-resourced courts at this point. And then there is some, it's always been controversial and subject of discussion with the council, whether or not you address under-resourced courts incrementally through this process. I say it's been a continuing discussion. The council approved for several years, RAS sub-allocations from the overall SAL money that was provided, and the idea was to provide some additional funding, incremental funding for the most under-resourced courts based on the RAS model. We haven't had, as you know, any SAL money for a couple of years. It doesn't mean, again, that you couldn't apply it here, and that's why we had it as an option. But there was some discussion, but I think at the end of the day, the feeling was pretty overwhelming that we should do it pro rata.
Okay. Any other discussions or questions?
Keith?
Yes, Ms. Krinsky?
Hi, thank you. David, I understand that because the fiscal year has been yet, it's not possible to know for sure what the reserves look like, but it really seems like the difference between option one and option two largely stems from the issues with hand locking. And I'm just wondering, I know in the past we selected sometimes just a single court or single one or two under-resourced courts. I'm just wondering whether the working group in particular had any dialogue vis-a-vis San Joaquin and whether there is any sense, it's not a specific number, but at least some impression as to what their reserves look like.
Thank you. I'm thinking Tim Turner will be able to answer that.
So, Miriam, yes, we did have, quite a full discussion of the two options that were on the table at the working group, the option to just allocate the money pro rata as we have done traditionally, I mean, with a few deviations over the years, and the idea of going with option two, which would be to make a small adjustment to the under what are still considered severely under-resourced courts under this RAS model, which is, I think it's 10 years old now. I don't know if OCR is here. I don't see them. But I believe that the RAS model was first rolled out around 2001 or 2002. And I think that, the discussion really did center around the fact that the RAS data is extremely old. It's a decade old now or very close to it. And that and the SB 56 working group is getting together to have its final, I believe its final meetings in September to actually update all of the workload data for all of the trial courts and to bring in a very much more current picture of this. And so I think the working group's final decision was that this was not the year to use, very old data and to make funding decisions based on old data when new data is going to be available in short order and probably will be available by the time we're having this conversation again next year. So it was certainly we feel the pain of the under-resourced courts, but I think at this point everyone feels rather under-resourced. And so it was simply a decision of the trial court budget working group, and I believe it was a unanimous vote, but it was certainly a close vote I mean, not a close vote. It was certainly a near unanimous vote on the part of the trial court budget working group to go with option one.
And, Kim, I guess, thanks for that. I guess the only follow-up question is, again, just because 2.8 nearly of the 3 million adjustment would be San Joaquin or relates to San Joaquin, I'm just wondering whether there was any laser look at San Joaquin specifically, or whether it just was just more that philosophical decision that you've articulated, that the model's an old model, and let's not, you know, be using that as the basis of allocation.
Well, I think we did hear from San Joaquin at that meeting, and we also, you know, had to look at the underfunding, you know, kind of in the larger context of, you know, every court makes local decisions on how to manage their funds and how to manage, you know, all the variables that go into, you know, ensuring that a court gets to the end of the year and you know, fully funded. And I think there was, you know, some concern that, you know, and I think Judge Apple mentioned it this morning, that a court that is severely underfunded did give raises, gave raises over the course of several years. I think that played probably into the thinking of the trial court working group, although I can't speak for the other members.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Then regarding recommendation number two, seeing no further hands, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. I think now's the time to take up Judge Friedman's motion to augment, I don't know if that's the right word, $374,000 to the Legal Access Fund. And was there a second on this as well?
Judge Herman. Yes.
Judge Herman, thank you. Any further discussion? Part of that, of course, is the implicit understanding that at our next meeting we would have it identified by, if it carries, that we would have it identified by finance to us with, along with the other adjustments if the motion carries. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I just had a question. We haven't gotten to item three yet, but I see there are a lot of programs that have been cut mm-hmm. here. Are we going to be going through some of those programs as well? And
do you mean item three on page two?
I mean item three on the agenda. Sorry.
Well, we're going to get there, but we're, yes.
Because there are a lot of, I just, as was mentioned by Judge So, there are a lot of worthwhile programs here, and I don't know if we're going to be discussing them in detail or not.
Well, we're going to get there, and I know that Kim Turner is going to have something to say on the group that went through and looked at those programs. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and you do know that that's coming up. So in terms of this motion, any further discussion?
Well, I'd just like to ask Judge Friedman in terms of, I mean, my only concern is whether we're establishing a precedent that we would not be able to distinguish from any other requests that come in the future. And if you could respond to that, I'd appreciate it.
I think that's a...
Has left the conference.
I think that that's a very fair question, Justice Baxter. I think that the distinction that I would draw is that, in part, like some of the augmentations we voted on earlier for counsel, whether it be the habeas counsel or in the past dependency counsel, this funding goes to provide counsel to people who are without any other recourse. And the extent that our guiding light today has been to try to assure to the maximum extent possible equal access to justice, it seems so fundamental that someone, even if a courtroom is open, who does not have counsel to represent or at least advise them, is not afforded equal access to justice. And so it would seem to be, in my mind, consistent with what we're trying to do in a way that many of the other worthy programs that are going to be on that item three list and others in the future probably can't replicate.
In light of that,
can you just I noticed one of the other ones on the list is the family law information centers, which also provide legal information to people so they can self-represent, which is also an access issue. So can, how do you differentiate that both of those are access issues?
Oh, actually, I think that the Equal Access Fund in part funds those sorts of programs provided by legal aid agencies throughout the state.
Well, this is the one that's in the court. Family law information centers are court-based programs. But I'm somewhat agreeing with Judge So and the fact that I have my pet one and you have your pet one, and I think they all go to equal. I mean, I think they all go to access to justice. So, you know, if you're going to add equal access, I also want to leave the money in the family law information centers too. So,
I think
both of them should be funded, but I don't know that there's money for it.
It is also perhaps instructive that the Equal Access Commission chose to identify this as something of particularly worthy importance to their overall objective of providing equal access in the state.
I agree with that they are needed.
All right. I agree these are hard decisions, and they are decisions that have to be made in comparison to other programs. And that's a guiding principle for our votes here today. So all in favor of the augmentation to fine $374,000?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, we'll have Bill do a roll call.
Justice Ashman Gerst?
No. With reservation. With I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Has joined the conference.
Thank you. Judge Baker?
Yes.
Justice Baxter?
No.
Judge Herman?
Yes.
Justice Hall?
No.
No?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, no, don't. I don't thank you. I just. As long as we've interrupted the roll call vote, I just want to make it plain. I suspect this is in many people's mind. Not that the matters that Judge Friedman and Judge Herman seconding have been concerned about are not important. They are very important. My vote, at least, my no vote, at least, goes more to the point Judge So and Judge Alexander and others made, and that is this the time to start cherry picking which ones we're gonna help and which ones are not? So that's a no.
Thank you, Judge Kaufman.
No.
One moment, Ms. Krinsky. We're in the midst of voting.
I'm sorry, I lost the call. Are we voting on Judge Friedman's motion?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you.
And Bill's going through a roll call.
And how do you vote, Ms. Krinsky?
I vote yes.
Yes, for Ms. Gerinsky. Ms. Mathai?
No.
No vote. Mr. Miliband, are you on the line?
No.
Thank you. Justice Miller?
My vote is no, and this is a difficult vote because I'm on the Access Commission, but I feel like if we're going to go through and pick out programs, we're going to have a lot of worthy programs. So I apologize to the Access Commission, but my vote is no.
Thank you. Judge O'Malley? Right on the line. Mr. Penrod?
No.
That's right.
Judge Pines?
No, also with, I'm sorry.
Judge Smith?
No, with, I'm really sorry.
Judge So?
No.
Without, and I'm sorry?
Sorry.
Judge Waters?
I vote yes, and if we're giving explanations, it's because I see some funding in the mod fund appropriations in the next report that have not been touched. That might be a good source for that program.
Thank you. Judge Wesley?
No.
Judge Yu?
I vote yes, understanding that this is maybe not the most prudent thing to do. My vote doesn't really matter because I don't think the motion carries, but I'm voting yes.
Chief Justice?
I'm voting no. I'm sorry.
We're all sorry.
Twelve no and five aye votes and four absent.
Still on agenda item two, turning to number three.
Okay. Number three is no one will have to say I'm sorry on this one. And this is revisiting an issue that the council dealt with at its last meeting on June 24th. On June 24th, we had a current year allocation, which was last year, fiscal year 10-11, of $17.9 million that the legislature had appropriated for trial court cost increases related to retirement, retiree health, and health benefits. And but the actual need was higher. The legislature did not provide all of the funding needed last year. But at that time, we told you that the legislature was appropriating the full, well, at that time, what was identified as the full amount of funding that is needed, $52.9 million. I'm sorry, $52.5 million. And so this item relates to allocation to courts based on identified need. For $52.5 million. The total updated need there, and these are always living, breathing items. So we finance staff at AOC are always getting updates. They stay in very close contact with the courts, and we now have identified that the number needed is $52.9 million in the current year. So you have approximately 99.3% of the funding available to offset that cut. So we recommend spreading it based on the identified need in each court, spreading that money prorated 99.3% to all courts. And so that's, again, an allocation of $52.5 million that's recommended. So recommendation three, allocate to courts $52.5 million from the Budget Act of 2011 for the full year impact of cost changes that were identified in fiscal year 2010-2011 related to employee benefits, retirement, and retiree health based upon this pro rata approach I said because we have 99.3% instead of 100% of the money. Allocation is reflected in column B of attachment 4 of the report.
Any questions or comment regarding recommendation number 3?
Can I make a motion?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Judge Waters. Any discussion, questions on recommendation number 3? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries.
So the next item, Chief, relates to this is kind of the technical side. So the AB 118 relates to the implementation of trial court security realignment. And so the legislature has already, I should say the governor has already signed into law AB 118 that provides for funding that was originally appropriated and included in trial court budgets for court security. That money is being removed from trial court funding and is being provided directly to the counties for the provision of trial court security. That action has already been adopted by the legislature. The Department of Finance is implementing the requirements of that legislation. They are processing an executive order which is taking the money, reducing overall trial court funding. This recommendation reflects the adjustments that had been identified court by court.
Mr. Mute that thing.
Miriam, could you mute your phone? It's blocking out conversation at this end.
Second.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a tricky part of all of this. We've had discussions on local this court security realignment, and there's going to be a lot of things that need to be worked out between courts and sheriffs and counties on how this is all going to work. And there's, I'm sure, going to be need for additional legislative look at it in terms of maybe additional adjustments. But one difficulty that we had was an initial amount was identified, and some of this was based on information that courts and sheriffs provided to my team. That was some of the initial split of the sheriff's portion of court security, and Department of Finance had that number, and between us and then working with Department of Finance and then the Sheriff's Association, they ended up with some initial numbers that became the adjustment. We understand from courts that some of those, they've looked at their numbers and they think there needs to be some adjustment, that it's either the sheriff is getting a little too much. We haven't seen any significant, substantial, but some case a little too much, or in I think at least one case where the court said, you're leaving too much with us and they should give more to the sheriff. And so we had worked with, we got the best updates we could from both the, between the courts and the sheriffs. We got the best updates we could. We presented that to the Department of Finance. And that also included a, we explained to them, based on our surveys, the costs were going up. They reviewed that information and agreed the costs were going up. But they somehow in the discussions decided that the best way to spread the increase, they had a 2.2% overall increase. They just spread it across that old prior year security base. And if they had, I believe, we believe that if they had used the adjustment that we had presented, there would be no need for adjustment. But I'm saying all this that there are some, I think that the judicial branch and the judicial council should be pushing for adjustment in these numbers. This would be the initial, the consistent with the executive order that the Department of Finance is making to take down court security. The budgets are reduced. That money does not exist for the council to allocate. So you have to reflect that in the individual court allocations. But the second part of the recommendation relates to providing the administrative director of the courts the ability to work with Department of Finance and probably the Sheriff's Association to get them to agree to adjustments. We need some adjustments. It wouldn't change the overall cut it wouldn't reduce the overall funding provided for court security of the sheriffs, but it would make some adjustments between one county and another and hopefully take care of some of these adjustments that we have. So again, there's a recommendation consistent with what the action of the Department of Finance is doing, money is gone. That's the technical side of this, but the second side of it is we do need to get some adjustments, and so we recommend this delegation of authority for the administrative director to continue to work to get those adjustments.
Thank you. Any questions on recommendation number four? See no hands raised. Call for a motion.
I move that we adopt the recommendation.
Thank you, Judge Baker.
Second.
Thank you. Second by Judge Soe. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter passes.
I think, Chief, are you going to proceed to item three?
Yes, we're going to proceed to item three.
I think I could get you to the heart and soul of it fairly quickly if you'd like.
We'll try that first.
Okay.